You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Amen. What powerful things we can do when we work together. Turn to somebody and say, what powerful things we can do when we work together. You know, to be successful, you really have to work together. You know, can't do it by yourself. God will bring some people into your life. God will put some people into your life that it causes a synergy. It causes things to be successful. And so vision, this is what God put in my spirit. Vision can only be manifested in community. Vision can only be manifested in community. Sometimes we're grappling with seeing the vision of God come to pass in our lives, and we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to do it solo. But vision can only be manifested in community, and hope is a community, and that's a very powerful community. There's also a community that God will place around you to accomplish your potential. I've heard Apostle speak on it so many years about the dream team. And God will put people around you because you need that sense of team. And so in this spirit of unity, I wanted to bring to you a series called One. The series is called One. It's not a lot of words. You may have walked in here with a mission statement that was three paragraphs long. But there's some things that aren't complicated. And that is the fact that unity is powerful. And we have to be in a place of unity. So this series is called One. And we are designed to be interactive beings. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. We're designed to be interdependent. At Hope, we're not just trying to get along. It's our mission to be in unity. It's our mission. It's part of our mission. It's part of who we are. Unity isn't just what we do. It's who we are. It's not what we do. It's who we are. We have to adjust our mindset to see unity is not a thing that we do. It's not an activity. It's not a good thing if we can do this. It's who we are supposed to be. It's who we are meant to be. Unity is essential. And actually, one of the major themes in Jesus' last prayer he touched on in the garden was the theme of unity. And I want to take you there real quick. John 17:20. John 17:20 says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. This is an important thing because Jesus' last major prayer, and I'm not talking about what he prayed and what he said on the cross, but his last major prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane was this, and he had such a major theme of unity. And he's talking about, this is important not just for the original 12 apostles, the original disciples. He said, all disciples who will ever hear the message and come to believe, this is important. I pray that they become one. Like God and Jesus are one, like the Trinity are one, like us, let them be one. Turn to somebody and say, let us be one. Let us be one. There is this unity among disciples, listen to this, is going to translate into a better union with God. This is what Jesus is indirectly saying, is that our unity among each other is going to translate into a better unity with him. Follow me here. So the better we work together, it's going to make us more like God. Somewhere in our unity, somewhere in our working together, we are going to reflect the divine nature of the Trinity. This is how important unity is. Listen to this. You can't be upset with your brother and be close to God. You can't be upset with your brother and be close to God. The more we're in unity, you see, we're going to reflect what God is doing in heaven, what this heavenly concept, what the Trinity is, we're reflecting that. So when we're in disunity, when we're in discord, we are not reflecting the unity. We're not reflecting one of the characteristics of God. John 1:4-7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And then he goes on to say, "If you don't love, you don't know God." Follow me now. This is heavy. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." You can go home, you can look at that, you can study a little bit and meditate on that. But it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And if you don't love God, if you don't love each other, if you don't understand love, you don't know God. Scripture goes on to tell us in Matthew, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:15 that if we don't forgive each other, He won't forgive us. Wow. You see, we're understanding this from a fuller standpoint with unity. We have to be unified. We have to love each other. We have to forgive each other. We have to work with each other. In foundation class this morning, we were talking about the different gifts and how we can't value one gift above the other gift. What it's talking about in 1 Corinthians, that we're supposed to work together. One is a hand, one is a foot, one is a mouth, one is a eyes, one is ears, right? We're one body. We're what? One. And so this is what Jesus says in essence in Matthew 6:15. He said, "I died on the cross for you. But if you want access to this incredible gift, you have to forgive." Listen, I died on the cross to atone for all of your sins. Grab a hold of this. But if you want access to this, you have to forgive. You have to forgive. Jesus is saying, I'm going to forgive you a lifetime of sin and redeem you from hell. But this is all that I want from you. You have to forgive your brother a handful of offenses. All right, I'm going to forgive you a lifetime of offenses and a compounded generational sin problem. I'm going to forgive that. I'm going to fix all that. I'm going to redeem all that. But what I need you to do is forgive a handful of offenses. Somebody stabbing you back. Somebody talking behind your back. Somebody stealing some money from you. Somebody doing you dirty. Can you forgive them to accept this gift? I love what Tudor Bismarck says. He says, "The only thing that can exhume the old man and nullify the power of the cross in your life is unforgiveness." The only thing that can nullify the power of the cross in your life is unforgiveness. Come on, come on and get this. Get this. And there is no unity without forgiveness. There's no unity without forgiveness. We can't be unified and I haven't forgiven you. There's something you did to me. There's something I did to you. And we can't reach an understanding. We can't forgive one another. It doesn't mean I have to trust you the same way. It just means I need to forgive you. I need to love you. I need to find a way to work together, to look beyond your faults and you to look beyond my faults, so that we can work together. Because at the end of the day, the kingdom of God is more important than our little differences and our little, you were offended at me and I fell short and you fell short. And can we work together? The kingdom of God is bigger than our problems, than your problems, than my shortcomings. The Bible says we're working on our faith, right? We work on our faith with fear and right? And prayer and amen. We do a lot of premarital and postmarital counseling. And one thing that I just find to be so beautiful is the power of forgiveness. We talk about that. The power of forgiveness. And no couple is perfect. Sometimes the man's going to fall short. Sometimes the wife's going to fall short. But the power of forgiveness is so important because it gives us the ability to push the reset button and take our marriage back to what it was intended to be. I'm going to forgive you. You're going to forgive me. We're going to push the reset button of forgiveness, and we're going to go back to the original design that God had for our marriage. That same thing applies to us relationally. Through the power of forgiveness, there's the forgiveness button. It's a reset button, and we touch that button. And it resets our relationship to the place of its original design. I believe that. I believe that. Forgiveness gives you the power to reset. Pastor Corinne, can you come up here for a second? Because I want to talk about harmony. There's a lot of things about music, but today I'm not going to focus on those things. I'm just going to talk about the power of harmony. In music, there's unison and there's harmony. Unison and there's harmony. Unison is everybody singing the same note. Mm-hmm. Harmony is everyone singing a different note, but it works together. We sang some harmony today. But if I were to say, sing unison with me, and I said, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. But God isn't commanding us to be the same.
Right.
God is commanding us to work together. If I were to say, let's sing in harmony, I would say, take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. See, God didn't command us to be the same, but God did command us to work together. And oftentimes it's the differences that makes it beautiful. It makes sense that we're not all eyes. It makes sense that we're not all hands. That we all don't have the same exact gifting. That we don't see things all the same exact way. It's in the beauty of our difference that makes our unity more powerful. Psalm 133:2. I want to give you this. Oh my goodness. Psalm 133:2 says, for harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the borders of his robe. Harmony is precious. And anointing oil in the Bible, if you study it, oftentimes it means to give someone position. It was used, they anointed the kings. They anointed the high priest. It was something to say, now I'm installing you into a specific position. So anointing oil was very important. But right here, what David is saying, because David was a man that was anointed for his position, but the Holy Spirit revealed to him, the importance of unity here is to be compared to the importance of your position. Just as important as your position is and your gifting is, unity is equally important. Scripture is comparing unity to position. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your gifting is, how important that you think that you are. Unity is just as important as anybody's gift. Never let your position and giftedness get in the way of unity. This oftentimes is the downfall in the body of Christ because somebody begins to think that they're important. And it's great. You're important. I'm important. Everybody in this room is important. Don't let the fact that you're important get in the way of you working together. And so we have to let go of our ego sometimes because that gets in the way of us working together. The kingdom of God can flourish if we work together, but it struggles if we work alone. We fail to move this incredible kingdom work forward if we're operating alone. Too many times in the Bible we have Lone Rangers. Anybody remember Lone Ranger? Well, it's not as glamorous as the TV show when you're working by yourself, because that wasn't the way that God designed us. Tell somebody, don't be a Lone Ranger. Working alone to build the kingdom of God is the same as working divided. Working alone is the same as working divided. Jesus said, any house divided against itself will fall. You know, when I think of Jesus' vision, when I think of Jesus' vision for his church, for his people, it was not one to be divided. It was one to be united. We must make any concession outside of violating the word of God to protect unity. That means me putting aside my preferences, you putting aside your preferences, things that might make you comfortable to work together. Amen. How much can be accomplished? My grandfather was sharing an email with me, and he said, giving me this quote that said, you know, it doesn't, if it doesn't matter who gets the credit, you can do infinite things. Infinite things can be accomplished in the body of Christ if it doesn't matter who's getting the credit, what the ego is. You know, it's important that if we have to get outside of our comfort zone, we're willing to do it. If we need to put our ego aside, we can do it. The people that God has surrounded you with and working together with them is just as important as your purpose, as your calling. As important as your calling is, working together with the people that God has placed in your life is just as important, because you'll never get there. We never get there to the place of purpose. We never get there to the place of purpose if we don't work together with the people that God has in our lives. Sometimes tempers burn the house down. God is building something in our lives. God is doing something powerful. But then we get upset with somebody. We get angry. And all of a sudden there becomes a wedge. Sometimes we burn bridges. When I was in elementary school, I had an explosive temper when it came onto anything athletic. I was, for the most part, Pastor Gary, I was a good pastor's kid that just soft-spoken, respectful. But on the athletic field, I could just get singularly focused and just lose it. I mean, I'm talking about just flip out, you know? Anybody had that experience on the, you had some area, some lane that you just, and so unfortunately there was this one day, it was in PE at the school, and we were playing kickball. I don't know how that kickball could get that intense, but it can evidently. And I punted the ball outside of the baseball diamond. I don't know what I had, what happened, but in front of my whole class, and my PE teacher, really just made a fool out of myself. And, you know, the worst part was that my dad was a pastor on staff, and, it's not a good reflection. And so I'm sitting in the principal's office. I know you probably didn't think your pastor was sitting in the principal's office, but I was sitting in the principal's office, and my dad picked me up and probably beat the crap out of me. But after that, we had a good discussion where he wrote a C on my hand. He said, this C, son, it stands for control. You see, oftentimes we can lose valuable relationships that God puts in our lives because we lose control and we lose focus of what's really important. Unity is important. Relationships are important, both because relationships are just valuable, but also you'll never get to your purpose without relationships. Anger can blow up relationships God put in your life. Listen to this. This is going to really challenge you. Matthew 5:21. It says, "You've heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment.' But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment." This is Jesus. "If you call somebody an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell." You know, Jesus kind of had a way to take it up take it up another notch. Listen to this. Okay, continue. "So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go be reconciled with that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." How far can we get off the mark when we're angry? Pretty far. Even if you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and for the most part, Jesus was talking to a lot of people that were believers, and he was saying, how far can you get off the mark with anger? Hey, you can get pretty far off the mark. If you're angry with somebody, God is watching and judging that. Wow. If you're angry with somebody, if you have a harsh word with somebody, it says that that's possibly a misdemeanor in God's court. Got a harsh word towards somebody. If you're truly unkind with somebody, you're in danger of going to hell. Jesus said it. You got to deal with it, right? That's what he said. I think what we can take away from that is we have to watch how we treat people in our lives. Sometimes it's not so easy to fix those words after you let them fly. Sometimes it's not so easy to repair those things. And this part here, I love this. "Even before you give your tithes, your offering, your worship, make it right with your brother, with your sister. Get back in unity." What a powerful imagery. Jesus says, stop the service. Stop the service. Just whatever, put your Bible down, put your offering down. Go make it right. Go be reconciled. Settle your differences. Then come back. Then come back and have a worship service. Then come and dance in the aisles and praise God. Give your tithe then. Stop. Hold up. Time out on the whole worship service. First, go back and get in unity. I love Jesus. Jesus would say stuff like this. Don't be religious, be reconciled. Don't come up acting religious. Get in unity. Be reconciled. Unity is too important. Unity is a true act of worship before the Lord. I believe when God sees our unity with one another, our love for one another, our commitment to one another, how we work together, I believe that rises to God like a sweet fragrance. What can we say about this today? What can we say about unity? Be reconciled. Be reconciled. Maybe God is just kind of bringing somebody to your heart today that you need to reconcile things with. Don't let it stand in the way of your destiny. This is your year of manifested destiny. Don't let it stand in the way. Don't let things being undone, unreconciled, stand in the way. Will you bow your heads with me today? There's just something. Sometimes we get offended. We just need to let it go. We need to put that at the altar. We need to put our offense on the altar. We need to put our issue, whatever it is, on the altar and say, God, I don't want the fact that I'm not reconciled to keep me away from my purpose in you. God, I don't want to have these divisions. I want to be in unity. There is a power in reconciliation because it brings unity. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, as we have our heads bowed and eyes closed and we're contemplating on the power of unity, as we're thinking about reconciliation and the power of reconciliation, Holy Spirit, bring to our remembrance if there's somebody right now in our lives that we need to reconcile with, maybe a brother, maybe a sister in the Lord, that God is saying, you know what, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. God, we pray for unity. We pray for unity in this house. We pray for unity in other churches. We pray for unity among the believers. What power when we have when we're unified? What power that we have when we're one? Father, make us one. Make us one so that the world will see the demonstration of our love towards each other, and it call attention on the message of salvation. It call attention to the message of Christ through our unity. Father, make us one so that the world will know your message, so that the world will know your love. God, let it be so.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.